4, United States versus Randy Jefferson. Mr. Ginsburg.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Bill Ginsburg. I'm attorney for the appellant. This is really about the least amount of material to come up to the Court of Appeals on. The judge's sentencing was about 3 pages, and the briefs aren't much longer. And so the question is, you know, how do I get the court to recognize that this 294 months is an abuse of discretion rather than the low end of the advisory sentencing guidelines of 262 months? And Judge Shabazz immediately says in sentencing, you got 2 prior convictions, which of course we know he's a career offender, and that you have drug use daily for 8 years, and the quantity is slightly over the mid-range, and therefore I'm going to give you a sentence at the middle range of the sentencing guidelines for a career offender. And my argument is that it's irrational. It's just irrational to use the drug quantities once you leap up to this career offender, because as we've set forth in the brief, arguably somebody could sell more drugs, but if you're at the low end of the guideline above you, then you'd get a sentence that's lower in the career offender category of 262 to 327. Arguably, somebody who sells far less drugs, as an example, 490 if the category tops out at 500, would get a higher sentence in the range of 262 to 327. In other words, you can't use the drug quantities once you leap out of the drug quantities.
Is there any authority for that?
Common sense.
Well, doesn't the guidelines say that when you sentence under the career offender provision, you have to take into consideration the sentence that would have been meted out for the crime of conviction? And the crime of conviction here was for a certain quantity of drugs, right?
Correct. And that's my whole argument, because the crime of conviction would have been 168 to 210 under the advisory guidelines. So once you leap ahead to 220...
Yeah, but my point is, why in deciding that that was the amount, the correct sentence under the drug table, you would take into consideration the quantity of drugs.
Absolutely.
So why can't you take it into consideration here, too?
Because it's irrational when you start using... In other words, 490 is at the top of its range. 1.1 kilo is in the middle of its range. Arguably, 1.6 kilos would be at the bottom of its range. And if you stack those three, the person at 490 gets the most because they're at the top of their range. The person at 1.1 is in the middle, and the person at 1.6 who sold the most is at the bottom of their range. So it's irrational. There's a more profound question, which is, how do you figure out where you sentence people as career offenders? And we've seen thousands and thousands and thousands. In this case, you've got 2 prior convictions. What's relevant is, Judge Shabazz makes a point, and I don't think anybody picks up on this until I was rereading everything. The pre-sentence investigation indicates that Mr. Jefferson admitted daily drug use of cocaine and heroin for 8 years. And Judge Shabazz jumps on that right away and says this daily use for 8 years. But immediately upon saying sentencing, he says distribution daily for 8 years. And that's something that like passed me by until I started reading this. And the government argues that we can't make the point, we can't prove the point that Judge Shabazz only used quantities to determine the sentence. In fact, later he talked about the 8 years of distribution. Well, guess what? That's actually a false argument, because it was 8 years that Mr. Jefferson only admitted daily use, which Judge Shabazz then translated to distribution. That's the only other argument. So I think that this idea of quantities honestly doesn't work. It's irrational. And then you also have this issue about, I don't know whether the court thinks we're wasting our time when we talk about the calculation of the age when Mr. Jefferson would be released. The government's lawyer came in and said, Judge, we recommend the low end of the guidelines. He's going to be late 50s at the low end of the guidelines. And Judge Shabazz immediately says, upon imposing sentence, middle range of the guidelines, he'll be in his late 50s. He's wrong. He doesn't remember what was said, or he's miscalculating it. And then at some point goes off and says, well, you know, he might get out at 55, he might get out at 60, he might get out at 70, blah, blah, blah. And the government's right, saying the judge is not supposed to know the exact date of release. But all courts would recognize that having an estimate, a realistic estimate of when somebody's going to get released, is very important for sentencing. And a range of 55 to 70, 15 years. I mean, I'm here arguing about 32 months, and Judge Shabazz is thinking, 15 years, who cares?
Mr. Reinhart.
Good morning. David Reinhart for the United States from the Western District of Wisconsin. I think it's easy with a cold record to go back and nitpick what a judge has said during sentencing. But I think we have to step back. First of all, the district judge in this case used the proper post-Booker sentencing procedures. It correctly calculated the advisory guideline range. It gave Mr. Jefferson the opportunity to argue any of the 3553A factors he wanted. And then the court did address the 3553A factors. He noted.
Let me ask you this. Judge Shabazz said at one time that a sentence at the low end of the guideline range in this case would depreciate the seriousness of the offense, and I find that very hard to understand or come to grips with. This is a horrendously long sentence. Your office recommends a sentence at the low end of the range, 262. And here we are. Now, we have a case today, the ninth case that we're going to hear, two bank robberies, and the sentence is 130 months less than this sentence in this case. For somebody who had a history of bank robbery, here this guy is a career offender based on one prior drug offense, which was fairly minor, and the other offense, which neither of which were crimes of violence. It seems like a heck of a long sentence, and coupled with that statement that it would depreciate the seriousness of the offense if he gave a sentence at the low end of the guideline range. That sort of struck me as bizarre.
Well,
your office thought 262 was a good sentence.
Well, we did think that 262 was enough, but the judge obviously took into consideration all the factors, and I think
your office didn't take into consideration all the factors.
We did as well, and you know, reasonable minds can disagree on particular issues, and I think Judge Shabazz on this issue, this did involve, I think in this particular case, the incident offense, easily over 200 grams of crack cocaine, I believe, maybe even 300. And Judge Shabazz did point out that this defendant organized the drug distribution in this particular case. So I think that's after looking at those factors, I think the judge felt that he wanted to incarcerate this defendant into his late 50s. And there was a point made by defense counsel.
How old was this fellow, Jefferson?
I believe he was in his late 30s, mid to late 30s.
You serve about 85% of your sentence now under the guidelines.
Correct. And I think going back to the one point that Mr. Ginsburg made regarding Judge Shabazz's statement that he could get 50, or it could be 55, or it could be 70 upon release, I think that was more of a speaking device used by Judge Shabazz to hammer home his point that, look, he doesn't know what this defendant's exact age will be. That's the BOP's determination. And in fact, in the record, Judge Shabazz specifically stated the court is of the opinion that a sentence at the middle of the advisory guideline range will incarcerate the defendant until he is at least in his late 50s. And he reiterated that in his statement of reasons. Your Honor, also, Jefferson argues that the judge just used this drug quantity approach, and that's not the case. I mean, certainly using the drug quantity is appropriate, but Judge Shabazz also went through other factors, as I mentioned earlier, that he was the organizer in this drug distribution, and he had a history of drug dealing. If there aren't any further questions, I ask you to affirm the district court.
Okay. Thank you. Ginsburg, anything further?
Thank you, Aaron. Very briefly. I thought I had a great line in the brief where I said, you know, reciting the factors isn't analyzing the facts. And Judge Shabazz just recited the factors. And one of the problems also is that the point you made was really one of the clearest points that I couldn't come to grips with. You know, how do you decide what the number is in the range for a career offender? And the 3553 factors, would come up with a sentence of 168 to 210. In other words, you look at this person, you look at his criminal history, you look at all of these things, but for career offender, 3553, and you would come out somewhere, 168 to 210, and we know that's what the sentence would be. So when you apply career offender and you jump to 262...
Well, you don't necessarily know that that's what the sentence will be.
Yes, you do.
No, the judge could have... it's an advisory guideline range, and he could have... That's the difficulty, obviously, you recognize that you're in here with the abuse of discretion standard, advisory guideline range, and our law that a sentence within the guidelines is presumed to be reasonable, and this one is within the guideline range.
I'm just too simple-minded, Your Honor. After 25 years of trial work, the courts and how they operate, if I see the same thing happen 100 times out of 100 times, the theories don't mean much to me. And so I know
that's the problem here.
I understand that.
You've got two district judges in Madison, and one could have looked at this case and gave a different sentence, clearly.
But I think a realistic response is that with 168 to 210, you never would have ended up at 262. And so 3553 gives you, you're still somewhere around there. If a year or two makes a difference, then you're not going to leap 52 months more. And so I think the point is that the 32 months, you know, when the judge says middle quantities, middle range, and then gets a lot of the facts wrong, just isn't fair to Mr. Jefferson. And I realize it's a stretch to ask this court to remand and say clearly it's an abuse of discretion, but the point is this, and I'll leave it. You've got a career offender. So when the judge says you've got two priors, of course you've got two priors, and one of them was a one-gram case. There's nothing else. What else do we have in here that to show why this person would be halfway up in the guideline range, and there aren't facts in this record? And when the judge says, I'm looking at 3553, and therefore all of these things apply to put you there, that's not true. And there aren't facts in the record in this particular case. And the misstatements by this court, when it says 8 years of distribution, wrong. The pre-sentence investigation only reflected daily use. He was using every day. He's got a problem. And it's very important to recognize that. And the last thing, you know, about when you're going to get out, the judge doesn't have to figure this out on the bench and know all these numbers. But I don't think it's fair, and it's almost an abuse of discretion to say, we don't know when you're getting out, or I don't. It could be 55, could be 70. That's not fair. So you don't expect him to know the exact date, but a realistic estimate. So
I don't get that. It's in the defendant's hands. That 15% is based on his behavior when he's incarcerated. How can the judge has no role in that.
Agreed. So the point is, the judge is saying, I don't care. I don't know if you're getting out 55 or 70, except he made the point. The middle range gets you in the late 50s. Now, remember, the government, when they got up, first thing they said is, Judge, we think the bottom of the guideline range is enough. If you give him the bottom of the guideline range, 262, he'll be in his late 50s. And the first thing out of Judge Shabazz's mouth is, a middle range gets you out in your late 50s. He's wrong. He doesn't remember, or he's got those numbers wrong. So if, in fact, the point he was trying to make is late 50s, then he should have given him the low end of the guideline range. He's going to be in his 60s. And I said, I don't expect people to be able to calculate down to the months. But we all know it's 85%, and we should have a sense of, are you going to be in your 50s or your 60s or your 70s when you're getting out of prison based on the offense? Thank you.
Okay, this case is taken under advisement. Mr. Ginsburg, you have the thanks of the court for accepting the appointment and vigorously arguing this difficult case. Thank you.